On this episode of the Real Life Caddy podcast, Zabo and I are joined by a fellow caddy who makes a return to the podcast after quite some time. Prolific Bell End of the Week winner, Big Tony is back. We kick things off with our caddy stories. Highlights include Big Tony not turning up for a request, Zabo missing a pro-am for the first time ever, and we share some caddy feedback on the infamous DJ Caesar. After caddy stories, we answer some listener mailbag questions, where we get the chance to give our opinions on the recent Ryder Cup. As always, we end the episode with our listener shoutouts. If you're new to the podcast, please feel free to go back through our mostly evergreen catalogue of episodes. However, in the meantime, we hope that you enjoy this episode. Episode number 122 of the Real Life Caddy podcast, and we welcome back a stalwart of the podcast. It's been a while.
Long while.
Zabo, welcome back.
I'm back here, yeah. It's not. He wasn't talking about me, but yeah, I am here.
We actually have a former, I think, three or four time Bell End of the Week winner.
Mm-hmm.
And
Three or four?
Yeah. Remember, you got it three times in a row.
What happened to all those intervening weeks? I should have got it like...
Well, we canceled the award. You would have had it.
Big Tony's back.
Woo! Welcome back, Tony.
You like that?
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Your caddying hasn't improved, but the technology at the Real Life Caddy podcast has.
It's always fun to try and get in a few words edgewise when you're around.
Now, welcome back. It's been a while. Is it true that you have been in caddy prison for crimes against bad caddying?
Yeah, I had to do 3 to 6 years, yeah. Yeah,
it's hard time. You got out for good behavior.
4 years for good behavior, yeah.
Before we started, he just told us, Zabo, that he worked 27 days in September.
We did find that tough to believe, but I've seen him out there. Actually, he was on a few jobs with me, actually.
I thought maybe he got September and summertime mixed up.
Yeah, that's true. 27 jobs for the whole summer.
That's about typical, but I will say I did do 27 days in September, but part of that was because I took 2 weeks off in August, so.
Yeah, had to make up for it.
Gotta make up for it, and I will say I want to leave myself a little leeway to work less in the rain this year, because it's supposed to be another rainy winter.
Is it?
Now, Tony, have you ever missed a loop?
Depends what you mean. I've never like gotten drunk and not showed up for a loop or anything, but okay. I've been very sick and called in and said I'm not going to come and show up for that loop. But
yes, okay. Well, it happened to me where I was sent a text message, a guy I know from Texas, John Donnelly, and he sends me. He says, "Oh, I've copied in as my friend such and such, and can you work for him?" I said, "Sure, give me the dates and the times." So I put down the times in the calendar. And last week, I text the lad and said, "Are you all set for tomorrow?"
Yeah.
And it was a corporate job. So when I looked at the calendar again, I went, "Friday, Saturday, that seems strange."
It's a weird time for corporate gig. Yeah.
Corporate's usually Monday to Friday, or Monday to Thursday, then off Friday type thing.
To get out of town.
He replied, he says, "That was last month." So first time that's ever happened. However,
wow, that is surprising. Yeah,
that's the first time ever. I don't think it's ever happened before.
Well, at least you tried to confirm and you just didn't show up and then text him and find out it was last month.
I've had a couple things like that happen. If you want to hear those stories, like one time my phone died and I had all my requests in the phone. It was only a couple and I remembered one of them, but one of them I couldn't remember. And yeah, they showed up and they're like, "Where's Tony?" I just didn't have the information anymore, so now I keep everything on a paper calendar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have two calendars like Zabo, the real one and then the bogus
one. The
one
for the good jobs, yeah.
But I also, there was a request I had where they kept telling me 1:30, and several different sources said 1:30, and I'm sitting at home at like 11:20, and the manager calls me up, and, "Tony, where are you? You're never late." Like, I'm sitting in my living room eating lunch. What do you mean? And she said, "You're on the tee in 5 minutes." I'm like, "No, my job's at 1:30." She's like, "No, it's 11:30.
That's not going to work."
So I did join that group on the second hole. That's only a couple incidents over time. And that was just a mistake. I don't know if they just mistyped the text when they texted me the tee times, or they just, you know, got it wrong.
Okay, well, do you remember a couple of months ago, there's a huge corporate group comes into town in July.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working a job for a guy I know, and I could roll up and I meet this guy Dan. I says, "So I'm going with him. Are you the other player?" And he goes, "Yeah, but I've got another caddy coming." And I'm thinking, well, there's two of us, so I don't think so. And I says, "Who is it?" He says, "Oh, Big Tony's coming. Tony's coming." And I went, "Okay, because it's unlike Tony not to be at least an hour early."
Yeah, that's true. Especially if you're there, because it was 10 minutes before the tee time.
I've turned up 5 or 6 minutes. So he goes, no, it's fine. Just leave the bag. He'll be here. I'm like, oh, I don't think he's going to be here. So I quickly text Tony, okay, just to say, are you working this job today?
Yeah.
And what ensued over the next 3 or 4 minutes was like the scene from Braveheart, right? So remember Mel Gibson plays William Wallace,
mm-hmm.
and he's gone on the rampage because they find out that you get married to Mirren, and because of Prima Nocte, they were chasing Braveheart, and she ends up getting captured, and they take her down to the village square. They put her up against the you know what scene I'm talking about.
Yes,
and remember, the Lord, he says,
"An assault on the king's soldier is the same as the assault on the king himself," right?
Mm-hmm.
And then she's standing there just looking around, looking in the trees and whatever for Braveheart. This is what this guy Dan was like up until he'd actually teed off. And he goes, "Well, I guess Tony's not coming."
"Guess I'm stuck with you."
So he was stuck with me, but it was classic. I said, "Listen, no, but Tony's never been late." I said, "Did you text them?" He went, "No, I sent a message to the office."
Oh, I says, "Whoa, mate. There's your first issue.
That could be in the Bermuda Triangle by now."
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, if you call the office, there's a fairly significant chance we just won't get the message.
Yeah, and if you call the office for me, it's a good chance that request finds itself in my other calendar.
Yes. Well, that used to happen to you, didn't it? Your name was in literature for the resort, along with Casey Boynes, and you used to get a lot of bogus requests. Is that not right?
Well, not bogus, just people I hadn't worked for before.
Bogus.
There were forums online where people talk about their experiences playing golf, where people recommended that they use my services.
Mm-hmm.
So I got requests in those, but I don't mind doing those. I mean,
really?
No, I mean, I think I've had one bad experience doing that. It's fine if somebody gives me, I mean, I take referrals that are just essentially strangers from referrals from clients.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, most days you're working for strangers anyway. I mean, if they come through you to you that way, that's fine.
I know Dan's not a listener, but if anyone does know Dan, please tell him.
Big Tony's coming. He's coming.
No, he's not coming, mate.
Dan, I'd be happy to caddy for you anytime. We've had a good time in the past. I just didn't know about it. And I think
you were holding. You were in Portland.
I was out of town.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah.
I got this text and I'm like, Big Tony is out of town. He's not showing up for that job.
He will not be there.
Our previous episode was about Caesar.
A popular one. I've been getting a lot of responses about Caesar. A lot of new like little nuggets. Like all the caddies are coming up to me. Man, you actually described him to an absolute T, and we really have. And funny enough, like the whole McCadden McCoppin Southwestern Interiors group was in town for the whole month of September, as they always are. And Caesar wasn't a part of our group, but he was in front of us one day, and we had this one player in the group who was. He was a bit of a shanker, if you will. And on the 18th hole, Caesar's right in front of us. They're getting in the cart, and my player shanks one, and it's going right towards Caesar's cart. And, I mean, it's on top of him. I yell, "Four!" as loud as I could. It was one of those emphatic fours. You know how some fours, you yell four, and you know it's not going to be close. This one I yelled because it was going to hit him for sure. And it hit the post of the cart. And bing, made the loudest noise. And the guys look back and they're like, they weren't too upset because we yelled before. Yeah. And I'm like, something's going to happen here. Caesar has to say something. And they're driving back. And my dude's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And the player's like, oh, no worries. Didn't hit anybody. And then Caesar looks over and goes, yeah, we'll be in the bar. You can just buy us a beer. You know, like, yes, Caesar, yes.
I saw him. He passed by me in the golf course. And obviously, I'd received a few text messages from caddies that, listen, one called him DJ Caesar.
DJ Caesar playing the music.
Playing the music. Someone had obviously told him about the episode.
Oh, you think he's listening?
Or he listens.
Yeah, good.
And he's driving away.
We don't dislike you, Caesar. We love you.
He's driving away from it, and he's shouting, Caesar, Caesar. You know what I mean?
Yes. It's all hail Caesar.
Just love the attention.
Love it.
What love you got, Zabo? I've noted down here that you did not work the first tee.
I did not for the first year. You know, the guy I usually work for the first tee, he's probably pushing almost mid-80s, probably upper 80s. So this is the first year. He's probably done playing. So with that Southwestern Interiors group in town, I think I'm done with the first tee as long as they play. I mean, it's I'm happy to skip that tournament. By and large, those senior tour players are not very nice people, in my opinion.
Big Tiddler, he was working it, weren't you?
Yeah, you know, I have had good experience mostly with the senior tour professionals. They've always generally been pretty relaxed and nice. And in previous years, they would allow us to caddy for the juniors. Currently, the juniors in that event aren't allowed to have caddies.
Mm-hmm.
But caddying for juniors, I was impressed with how well a number of the pros work with juniors. Yeah, it was a good experience in that way. I have had one or two bad experiences with senior tour players. I'm not sure if I should mention a name.
No, you should. Of course you should.
Okay, so there's a pro who was an older man. I think he was already close to 70, named Rocky Thompson. And this man was extraordinarily eccentric. He used like the longest driver that it was legal to use, and he wanted to use like a 60-inch driver. I mean, and he could move the ball around with it. He could hit it, but he had the strangest mannerisms dealing with the amateurs. So each group in that event has two amateurs and a junior and the pro. And he would come over and like insert himself and give the most crazy advice. It was insane. I would just look at him and like,
what are you doing?
If you want to use that advice, do it. There was a we were off the side of a green at Del Monte, one of the courses they use in that event, and we were 40-50 feet from the flag, and we're about a foot below the surface of the green. So I'm just telling my player, take a pitching wedge, take a sand wedge, take a nine iron, just bump it up onto the green and let it roll the 40 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes over and he's like, no, 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 no. You can't do that. You have to do this. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
He's a 10 handicap. Just let him try to hit the green from here.
We're just going
to
bump it onto the green and let it roll across the green. It's really not a complicated golf shot. You've been playing golf for 50 years. What are you doing? He didn't, I don't think he meant unwell. He's just a strange, eccentric man.
Rocky.
Yeah, Rocky Thompson.
Rocky Thompson. You know what drives me nuts about some of those guys is the rabbit ears. Okay, I get that. People are talking. But the people off on the road 80 yards away. Oh, whoa, stop moving. Or he gets the caddy to tell him to stop moving. It's like, dude, focus on your golf ball. Like, look down at your golf ball. He's not in your peripheral at all. Just leave him alone. He can walk if he wants to walk. Focus on your game. And sometimes I think they're doing it just for control of the crowd and the situation.
The crowd.
Yeah, or lack thereof. But they're like, oh, that guy over there, get that baby to stop moving. Stop twiddling his thumbs. It's like, dude, just hit your golf shot. Stop. Stop.
Well, the rabbit ears is a thing, and it is remarkable how sensitive some pros are. It's something, once you've worked in a few events with professional golfers, you become super sensitive about. And I actually tell my players in the AT&T particularly that a number of pros are very sensitive to it. And what I'm going to do is when you need to stop talking, I'm just going to put my hand on your arm and you need to stop talking immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Because the pro is staring you down like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
What's kind of funny with the seniors is that if you're standing right next to them, they can't hear you, but they can hear something 60 yards away.
It's ridiculous. It drives me nuts.
I personally love the event because I enjoy the golfer I have. But I came to the realization that in that whole tournament, you have 80 pros, 80 juniors, 160 amateurs. And what would that give you? 320?
That's correct, 80, yes.
320 caddies.
8 times 4, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There's virtually only 4 people, maybe 5, 6, 8, that are not disappointed, right? Everyone is disappointed, right? The yeah. amateurs are true. Disappointed because, well, most golfers are disappointed where we work because they just seem to think that I've never met a golfer better than he was or she was. That includes myself. We're all just, we think we're so amazing at the game. True. And apart from the guy who wins the tournament, the two amateurs who win the tournament, because I ended up carrying on the Sunday for amateurs that had made the cut, they were disappointed because they didn't then go on to win it. Like, they had no right to win it. They were, you know, garbage.
Yeah.
The 79, 80 kids turn up to this thing and they think they're going to get a scholarship to Stanford. And the truth is, they're not good enough to get into the local high school team, never mind get to Stanford. And everyone's just walking around disappointed. And
it's a fact. I'm happy.
It's kind of sad.
I was, this is probably the first year I have never worked the tournament. And I was very happy to
liberate out.
It was.
Did you miss the Chipotle?
Though? I was just going to say that caddy hospitality was the only thing I missed. The Chipotle and the indigestion of the week. I kind of missed that feeling in the pit of my stomach.
Just to clean your colon out.
The hospitality had Chipotle every day. It was excellent.
Really? See? Oh, I yeah. agree with Tony.
I had it once. I had a burrito one day, and that was it. I just, no thank you. Once
I
a mean, year.
I don't eat Chipotle day to day because they're, this is California. There's aye. 17 awesome Mexican restaurants in town.
Mm-hmm.
But Chipotle's solid, you know, for a chain. The food's pretty good.
I think it's lazy. Great. I think it's lazy from the organizers. I'd rather they just went with wee sandwiches, change it up.
We're just caddies, Gordon. We're just caddies.
But if you're going to do something, it's a bit like going back to Matt Kuchar when he gave AL2CAN, I'm going to give you 3,000 for the week, which is a great wage. And then he gives mm-hmm. him 5. So he's recognizing that he's tipping him. He tips him 2,000 out of 1.4 million. Right?
Ridiculous.
So if you're going to put something on, you've gone for the very easy, sloppy option. And by the way, when you look at the meat, it is sloppy.
Yeah, they don't give you the good carne asada steak. They definitely don't include that.
I was like, so what do you I says, do you have chicken? And they went, no, we get this and this. And I went, well, which one's which? And you couldn't tell the difference. I was like, I tell you what,
hats off. Take a little of the green, some of the brown.
But I was very, very shocked and disappointed that I did not see you, because I thought for sure you would maybe
just kind of sneak in with my old like badge and say, yeah, I used to caddy in this tournament.
You mentioned the boys in from Texas.
Yeah, there's a lot of gems with those guys that month.
So the last
and gals.
The last night they were here, they came down to my men's club. No ladies allowed apart from Wednesday afternoons and Sunday between 10 and 10:15. But 4 of them came down having beers, and we have an ice plunge. So 47 degrees Fahrenheit. Not sure where that is in Celsius, but it's cold. And it's wonderful for a number of things. And the conversation gets on to it. And one of the lads says, I could do that. And I said, have you ever done it? He goes, nope. And all Game of a sudden on. Now they're betting.
How long can you take it?
His 3 colleagues all bet $100 that he can't do. And he says, I'll do 4 minutes. I went,
4 minutes?
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
Try a minute first.
First time ever, a minute. That's yeah. it. So next thing, you know, obviously the drink's flowing. And he's down in my locker. He's got a pair of the most, you know, he's small guy and I'm big. We're walking around with these these orange swimming trunks. I honestly was bricking it because I thought he was going to die. He did 4 minutes.
Which guy was it?
His name was Brad.
Mm-hmm.
He did 4 minutes. Then we walked around the pool. I went into the swimming pool with him because you're slowly trying to bring the temperature of your body back up to where it should be.
Yeah.
And then you go in the hot tub. He was still going shaking in the hot tub. And I thought, oh no. Because he's, you know, he's not old, but he's in his 50s. And I thought, oh no. And you know the worst thing? I says, well, there's $300. He goes, no, I turned the bet down. He cancelled the bet.
Oh, bummer.
Before he did it.
And he would have won.
Still completed it.
Wow.
That point, you just give up when you're that cold.
But hats off to him. The old cold plunge. That's what you need for your knees, Abo.
Apparently. Maybe I'll try it.
What else you got, Zabo?
Well, we got to talk about some of that month. We got to talk about Lori. I was caddying for Lori and Terry. Oh, no. Yeah, Lori and Terry. I was caddying for Lori and Terry. And so Lori's got this men's set of clubs, and she's got this nice putter, the Scotty Cameron putter under this head cover. And I'm like, what's this about? And she's like, well, my son cleans out, you know, dead people's houses. They hire him to come in and clean out their houses, and he pays them a certain fee, and he takes away their stuff. And he went into this one house and got 20 sets of golf clubs, ooh, all in bags. Five of them had this putter in it. It was an old Scotty Del Mar, 1995, one of 500. I said, and she's got no head cover on it, actually. We're on the first hole, and I was like, you know, this is a pretty nice putter. You might want to keep a head cover on that. Mm-hmm. This is probably worth some money. And I'm working with Troy Bumgarten. He's like, you know, I had that putter. I sold that on eBay a number of years ago for like $2,000, like 10 years ago. I was like, this putter's probably worth, you know, $2,000-$3,000. And I'm like, let me look it up. And I look on eBay, going for $4,500. I'm like, yeah, you might want to keep the head cover on there. She's just out there dinking around. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. He's out there putting with a $4,500 putter. That unbelievable. Absurd. It was absurd.
I caddied for a lad he actually went to Korea for a putter. It was $3,700 just for the putter.
He went to Korea to purchase the putter?
Yeah. The guy designs them and makes them in Korea.
Oh, wow.
I believe it. You know, people love golf. They have a lot of money. Why not put some money into it?
Are you still using that same Odyssey that needs re-gripped?
I've had it re-gripped several times, but it might need a new one now. Yeah, 20 years with that putter. In my 40 years of golf, I've essentially played two putters.
You think you would make more changes? Seems that you can't make a putt with it.
Or eventually it'll start working.
Like, are you playing any golf these days?
I played five times in August, but I have not played since. I've hit balls a couple times. But
break 100 yet?
I did manage to do that once, I think. I had a 98, two under.
Front or back nine?
No, I shot the 80s a few times, but the game is so up and down. It's funny. Even after all these years of playing, consistency is elusive. Yeah.
Just disappointed.
Oh.
Disappointed. Are you still practicing? Like, do you get out there and practice?
Yeah, I try to practice a couple times a week. Now, that doesn't always happen. Like in September, when I worked all those days, I didn't practice much. But I do try. Yeah, I mean, my goal is to get back down to, you know, single digits again. I'll get there.
You should come out with me to that little par three course.
Wow, that's the funniest joke I've told Gordon in a long time.
Tony, I actually played three times in the month of September, which I've probably played twice in the last 2 years, and it was all thanks to Southwestern Interiors. This one round was actually hilarious because he invited, there was two spots open, so Troy Armstrong and myself were playing with them, and we get to we're on the first tee, and this lady in the group behind us comes up to Troy and I, who were stand next to each other about to tee off. She says, I hope you guys can play pretty fast because we play really fast where we're from and we really don't want to be held up today. And she was being serious. I'm like, she had to be 70 years old playing with her husband. I'm like, this is absurd. This is absolutely absurd. I look at Troy and say, I think we'll be okay, young lady. I think we'll be okay. So we're getting off the second green. They're on the middle of one fairway. Middle of one fairway. We finish three. They're not even to the green on two, and the marshal is sitting right there in front of me. I said, "Watch this. This is gonna be the first time anybody's ever done this." I go up to the marshal. I said, "Yeah, I wanna put in a complaint about the group behind us. They're playing too slow. You need to tell them to get a little closer to us. I'm a little uncomfortable." He's like, "Yeah, we've been monitoring them." And then we get to the fourth tee box, and the third tee box is right next to us, so we can see him driving up over there. And he starts like, you know, you're two holes behind at this point. You've played two holes. You're two full holes behind, and the lady is just beat red. They get paired with an Asian couple, and they're taking photos of every shot. So she's not the one holding up, but the other couple is. They had to break off from that too soon because they were so slow. It was hilarious, though. She's ragging on us for being for trying to play fast so we're not waiting, and they're two holes behind us. It was classic.
Perfect, boys. Well, that'll do us for some stories because I've got some good mailbag questions that we'll certainly get the chops going. Here's a little message from our sponsor,
Big Game Golf.
Every golfing group has the guy who coordinates the weekly game or the buddy's trip. If you're that guy, you'll be very familiar with the pain and frustration scheduling, managing, and scoring your game. Why not make your life easier by downloading the Big Game Golf app and start saving time and hassle today? Whether you're a caddy wanting to engage more with your golfers, a pro shop wanting to get out of running the weekly game, or you're that guy wanting to streamline the process, Big Game Golf is here to help you. The app has over 30 games, so there is no need to keep playing the same boring games with your mates week in and week out. The app is also fully integrated with the USGA, so every player's handicap will automatically be incorporated, which saves time and, more importantly, sandbagging. Simply choose your game, keep score, and the app will do all the calculations with live scoring, leaderboards, and contest results. Big Game Golf will even text players the final results. Finally, the creators of the app are open to your feedback, so never hesitate to contact them directly with feedback and ideas. So start improving your golf experience today by downloading the app, Big Game Golf.
So there you go. If you haven't already downloaded the app, get across to the Apple Store and download Big Game Golf. You can also support us by going to the website, glorifieddonkey.com, and why not buy us a beer? There's been quite a few people done that. We'll give them a mention later. If you have any questions for the podcast, podcast at glorifieddonkey.com, or give us a follow on X, formerly known as Twitter. And please make sure and subscribe to the YouTube channel if you have an account, because there's going to be a barrage of videos coming out very soon. Now, boys, I've got a few questions here.
Okay.
Right?
Ready.
This is from Mike in Dallas, in Texas. What are some of the best betting games, stories, and losses you have run across?
Well, that's interesting. I've had some groups that were betting so big that it was actually kind of awful, because I've never seen groups play for big money and be relaxed about it. Always bad blood. There's always a rules dispute. Mm-hmm. Like, no, we always pick those up, or no, we always give ourselves that. And it's like, no, that's not the rules of golf. And then there's a huge fight and it's just awful. I think most golfers have played the game Wolf, but I was with a group that was playing Wolf with the Hammer. And the hammer is a rule where if you say, I hammer you, you either have to immediately concede the hole or double the bet on that hole. And then the other folks can say, I hammer you back, and it can keep going. And they were playing $200 a hole. So it was like $400, $800, $1,600.
Wow.
I mean, it would just spiral, and they'd get all in each other's face. I hammer you back. You back. Now, that can be a fun game if you're not insane, where, like, if you hit it to 3 feet on a par three, the first thing you do is say, I hammer you, because you either concede the loss right now before you even hit your shot, or you have to try and beat me for twice as much. That can be fun. But, oh, that was an awful group. Wow. I was glad when that day was over.
Mm-hmm. I saw a guy once tell his buddy he wouldn't get a ride back on his private jet for being such a douchebag. It's like, you're not riding on the jet. You find your own transportation home. It's my jet. You're not riding on it. Just from losing the bet. He was that mad.
I carried for a group yesterday who had a very interesting game where if they had a single putt, or they got an up and down or a birdie or whatever, they won a card. And say you would maybe win 8 cards. And then at the end, they would actually get those as playing cards and then play poker.
Oh, that's cool.
So yeah. I'd never heard that. And then that's, so whatever you did in the golf course really didn't matter in a way, because you could maybe have 3 cards. I've never played poker, so you know me. Big Tony he likes a game of poker, but yeah, I guess you could win all the marbles.
Yeah, I mean, you could get a 3-card hand that turned out to be pretty good, and you might get 9 or 10 cards and have nothing. So there's a dose of randomness. That's actually a pretty clever idea. I've never heard of that before.
Well, I guess if you do want games, get that Big Game Golf app.
Yeah, it has them all.
Download it. It's got them all.
Yeah.
And he digressed. Tiger Woods was in town. And one of my players yesterday, he got a hole-in-one at Zabo's home course, The Hay.
Count it.
And here's it. So 8 of them, he gets a hole-in-one, 52 yards, right? So he chipped it in, basically. He won the pot.
Nice.
Which was like $1,100.
Sweet.
But he was out 400 because he ended up buying dinner and everything. So,
of course,
a 52-yard chip in cost him $400. Okay. Which is absurd, isn't it? It really is.
Great
absolutely
shot,
absurd.
Buddy.
And there was also Tigers in Town. This was a story. It was someone got a hole in one and in front of him at the hay.
Tiger said, I'm very proud of you, buddy.
I think it was 28 yards.
No.
And it went bananas on the former Twitter X. And again, I got a barrage of text messages and tweets.
Of course,
and stuff.
You did, as did I.
Ripping it.
Oh, counts, huh? It counts. Yeah, it counts. Get out of here.
What do you think, T?
I think it's perfectly reasonable to count that.
Of course
that.
You would. Of course you would.
That's right, Tony.
It's a golf hole. You made the hole. It's a hole in one.
Exactly.
I mean,
this is the man who's been to two female World Cups in football.
Yeah.
Of course, it's going to count.
It counts. It's a golf course.
By the way, those tournaments were awesome. It was a great experience. I recommend it to anybody.
Yeah, sure. At the end of a game of golf, it is customary to take off your hat. Why is this? And how do you feel about it? And that's from a Gary Hunt in Bluffton. Do you know where Bluffton is, T?
I don't. Which state is that in?
South Carolina.
This is one of your sticking points. You're not a fan of this, correct?
I don't take my hat off to shake anyone's hand. I watch the pros. The pros hold their last putt. They step aside. They take their hat off with their left hand. And then they use their right hand to rub their hair and grab all the grease. And then they shake. You watch next time any listener or any you two watch
it's
golf.
True, yeah.
Watch it happen. They take the hat off with the left hand. They rummage around their barnet and then get in plenty of grease on there and bacteria.
Go in
and
for
then
the
they
hug,
go and shave and every, hug, yeah. shake someone's hand. That's not the reason I don't do it. I'm just like, I don't see the point. So Tony, you why is this? Why do people do it?
So I don't know this.
You don't?
For a certainty, but I would guess that it's a holdover from the previous hat etiquette. You know, in the U.S., it used to be very common for men to wear hats at all times when outdoors. If you look at photos from the 1920s of outdoor scenes, all men are wearing hats. It used to be standard. You always wear hats outside. And actually, it was John F. Kennedy who kind of killed this by not wearing a hat. He didn't like wearing hats. And in America, it became very uncommon for people to wear hats, and people forgot the old hat etiquette. Like, I was always taught, and if you look in old movies and such, that when you step into a building, you take your hat off.
And the Westerns, they always did it.
Yeah, no, it's just that you step inside, you take your hat off. And my understanding is in places like the wee country you call home, cute little country that it is.
Oh, I do love Scotland.
It is a wee country.
I'm joking with Big G. He knows I love Scotland.
I love Scotland. Going up to Scotland for the weekend, it's wonderful. Get back down London at the week, you know.
It's my understanding that they're bothered by the fact that Americans don't do this anymore. And it's just because Americans fell out of the habit, because we don't teach this etiquette anymore, because basically people don't wear hats outside.
Oh.
Anymore, but now when people do, some people do wear hats all the time. They just don't know that that it's proper to take your hat off when you come inside. It's also proper to take your hat off when greeting anybody. And that's where that comes from. Yeah, it's a sign of respect. You take your hat off when you greet somebody.
Okay, a sign of respect.
It's a holdover from those days, I think. Uh-huh. Now, admittedly, I'm speculating, but I think that's so.
Yeah. Okay.
I've always done it. I mean, I think it's, for me, it was part of 21 years ago when I went through caddy training. They say, this is what you do. I started at a Ritz-Carlton golf course in Florida, and they said, this is what you do when you greet someone. This is what you do when you say goodbye. And I've just forced a habit at this point. I always do it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I still, every time I step into a building, I immediately take my hat off. It's just automatic. I don't even think about it.
I will take my hat off if I sit down at a table. Because my mother always take your hat off, right? And usually if you go into a golf course, certainly a members club, you take it off because you don't want to deal with the guy behind the bar or whatever. Oh, excuse me, sir, can you please take it off? Yeah. But I don't really have a problem with it, and I don't take it off when I shake someone's hand, either to meet them or at the end. Probably because they haven't gained my respect.
Wow! Wow! Big time in them.
Oh, you know what? I just watched you shoot 105.
Yeah. You don't deserve a handshake with my hat off. Yeah.
Well,
I'll give you a pat on the back and say see you later.
I'll tell you what I do love as a caddy is when you shake the players' hands at the end, some will keep their hat on to shake your hand. then take it off.
What is that supposed to mean?
Especially if it's like one of those mergers and acquisitions guys, mm-hmm. like one of the money finance people. You don't really exist. Yep. So they'll...
Oh, I love those guys.
They shake your hand while they're looking the other direction.
Yeah. Barely That's touch you.
Absolutely yeah. brilliant. And then, as I say, they'll keep the hat on to shake your hand and then take it off.
You really can't tell a lot about a person by their handshake and eye contact and all that. Yeah.
Oh, the old dead fish.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, how they look at you.
That's it. Wet in the pants. That's what my dad used to say.
Talking to you, Charlie Hoffman.
A nice firm handshake. You don't have to try and crush the other person's hand, of course. But Tony, you've actually got a very strong grip.
As he should.
Aye, and he's got a very strong handshake. But next time you watch golf, boys, check that out.
I will.
Hat comes off the left hand, then they rummage about the barnet. Oh, getting right in there. Thanks for the game.
Yeah, good game. I have to say, this seems very overly fastidious of you to worry about people touching their hair. I mean, you know the percentage of people who wash their hands after they use their bathroom.
Very true. Next question. Did you boys watch the Ryder Cup? What are your thoughts? And that comes from Philip Langston. And he is in Basingstoke in Hampshire. Boys, did you watch it?
Watched very little. I probably didn't watch any live, really. I watched a lot of the highlights.
Uh-huh. And then, many highlights?
Not for me. I didn't really. No. I'm really not interested in the Ryder Cup, to be honest with you. Never have been. Mm-hmm. Ever. No.
When I was a young golf fan, I watched it pretty intensely. Like most of the Ryder Cups in the 90s, I could give you play-by-play just from memory. But I have kind of lost interest. I did not watch any of it. I was working Friday, Saturday, and I had a memorial service to attend on Sunday, and that took most of the day. And it was I've found myself caring less and less over the years. I've always been sort of annoyed by the Ryder Cup in several different ways, but also it's very enjoyable. I mean, the format makes for some great drama, and there's always some interesting shots played, and most of the time it's close, and it can be fun to watch, but I find particularly the sort of weird, I don't want to call it patriotism, nationalism, jingoism around the event, it's so strange, and some of the commentary always struck me as just absurd in the analysis. Like, they're always talking about how much team spirit Europe has and how much, you know, camaraderie and why this makes them win. And I don't really get that. I mean, most Europeans, you know, will acknowledge that the European Union is a thing and they're glad to be part of it. But I don't see them as super patriotic about Europe. You know, most French people are patriotic about France and most Britons are patriotic about Britain or their small part of Britain. But, it seems like such a strange analysis, and this is just one facet of it that I've always been like, really? They have super team camaraderie because they're all about Europe? Maybe it's just plain old anti-Americanism, but then the sort of vitriol of the American fans towards Europe, I'm like, and most golf fans are reasonably well off, and they most of them have been to Europe, and I'm like, really? You hate Europe? You've been there, you go there on vacation. Why do you hate Europe?
I think that part of it is mob mentality.
It's just strange. The intensity of like the dislike for the teams, it's just bizarre. Mm-hmm. Because week to week, all the players are friends. Most of them live in the same neighborhood in Florida.
It's all fabricated rivalry. And it's just, to me, it's not fun to watch. I don't enjoy watching it. And
I don't think the best players are selected anymore.
And that's the big issue to me. I don't think Zach Johnson was necessarily a bad captain, but he made a lot of poor choices in his picks. Like, you can't Justin Thomas, his history in the Ryder Cup, he's been great in the Ryder Cup, but you can't pick him based on his performance. And that to me was like, I'm not even going to watch it based on this, because the fact that Keegan Bradley got snubbed for the Ryder Cup when he should have been top four on that team. It's ridiculous.
I think his hands may have been tied, to be honest with you, because you obviously look at the live golfers that didn't participate.
True.
Would certainly have been...
Taylor Gooch should have been in there, yeah.
Dustin Johnson, 5 points in the previous one. Mm-hmm. I'm with Big Tony. I don't see myself as European. I'm certainly a nationalist. I see myself as British and Scottish. I don't think there's any such thing as European.
Yeah.
In the 90s, there were two specific tours. You had the PGA Tour, you had the European Tour. I would, my, and I, this might be wrong, but my perception is that the European Tour players maybe came from more working class backgrounds. All the money was in America. There was a real intense... These guys might only see each other 5-6 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
They did not like each other. There was definite, genuine dislike. You had partnerships that would last for 6, 8, 10 years. They always played together. I think Montgomery and Langer used to play together. It would be Seve and Olathabo.
Mm-hmm.
Then you would have, you know, Faldo and whoever. I can't remember specifics, but I do remember there was a real 1991. I think there was one. Langer missed a putt, correct?
Yeah, that was the Kiowa, right? That was the famous War by the Shore. Mm-hmm. Just the fact that it's called the War by the Shore, an exhibition golf match that should just be a friendly, fun event with some, you know, sure, rivalry and competition. Everybody likes to beat their friends. But the War by the Shore, come on. The guy showed up in camouflage one day. It's just like, this is just ridiculous nonsense.
It's theater. It's entertainment. It's whether that's highbrow or lowbrow, but there's almost a fabrication of this rivalry. Half the Europeans stay in America. Most of them play on the tour over here. It, to me, is of a
very
little
I always look forward to the tournament ending. I'm like, all right, tournament's over. We can get back to the PGA Tour. Yeah.
Thank you for your question, Philip, but
I would like to say also that a lot of the commentary and analysis about the Ryder Cup drives me crazy. Like the endless detailed analysis of what the captains do. You could take the top 100 American golfers, pick 12 at random, take the top 100 European golfers, pick 12 at random, just pick the names out of the hat for partners, and you would have a good competition.
Oh, yeah. Great matches, and all this, anybody could win.
All this detail about he should have done this, he should have done that. It's just
Well, then you get
silly.
The drama between the caddy, LaCava, and then McIlroy spilling over into the hotel. Like,
unbelievable.
Come on.
Nobody's throwing the punch.
No
get
one's
out of here.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're all going to puff your chest out and act like you're going to throw a punch, and nobody's getting into an altercation. Get out of here.
And I have no doubt that the emotion is genuine. I mean, the people... caddies and players who've played in it talk about the intensity of it. I just don't understand for what should just be a fun exhibition.
Aye, but you can't break 100, right? So, you're never going to be able
to understand. I do it occasionally. You know, I've actually broken 80 in my life.
But, you know, is McIlroy going to throw a punch? Really?
No.
You're going to come on. Couldn't fight sleep.
He's never been in a fight
I'd
in his
love
life.
Who are you taking in that fight anyway?
Joey LaCava. Yeah. Every day. You take the caddy any day of the week. Yes, the caddy's been in a scuffle or two.
Exactly. So, excellent. Well, listen, thank you for your questions.
Yes.
If you have any questions for future episodes, podcast@glorifieddonkey.com or send them in on the former Twitter platform X. Boys, we've got to do some shout-outs.
Absolutely.
Zabo, what you got?
I got to shout out my boy Bill Bronstein. He was in town in Anita. Thanks for listening as always. McCoppin, we got to shout out McCoppin, McAdden, Burton.
Good people.
Terry Grifford. I mean, that whole crew. Tony was on that job a few days. Got a shout out.
Wow. You must have been struggling. Everyone must have got a job in the first team.
They love Tony. They've actually gone to Tony's Trivia Tuesdays at London Bridge if you're in town. Ryan Pfeiffer, just started caddying for him. Great guy in gym. Good to have them in town. But there's so many in the McCoppin group and McAdden group, Southwestern Interiors, all those guys. Egan.
Tony, any shout-outs?
Yeah, I want to say hello to Darren Morris. I don't know if he's a listener because I just met him a couple weeks ago, but I worked for him the first day, and we ended up doing 3 days together, and we just had a great time. What a good man. Good man. He's a Granite Bay member from Sacramento area. Good people.
What about Dan? You missed in July?
Dan, I apologize again. I will say I don't really feel bad about this because it wasn't my fault and I was going to be out of town anyway. I wasn't going to be able to work for you. I'd be happy to work for you anytime. I've enjoyed working with you in the past. I would like to shout out my player in the first tee. It is funny how golfers vary across abilities. I'm sincerely sorry to the gentleman. I can't remember his name.
The one you worked for 2 weeks ago?
Is it? 3 weeks ago. But he was a 12 handicapper. He was an okay player, but he was the best putter I've ever seen for a 12 handicapper. He was amazing. He was actually mostly reading his own putts.
No.
Sure. And every time he asked me for a read, I'm like, you got it dead on. yeah. He would say, I see this. And I'm like, you're dead on. And he could putt every putt, just rolled right up to the cup and either or stopped right on the edge.
That's fun.
He was amazing. I mean, he was a 12. There are a lot of shortcomings in his game. I was impressed. I'm sorry, I don't remember your name. Brilliant. I hope we do it again.
A wonderful shout out.
I apologize. I didn't think about shout outs. I should have looked up his name, which I have in my phone.
No worries.
But I.
Thank you. It happens.
Right.
We meet a lot of people, let's be honest.
I'm going to rip through a few here. Danny and Eddie Goop. Now, I'd mentioned Eddie before.
Goop?
Goop. G-O-E-P-P. They're from Atlanta, Georgia. And they're brothers. I met three brothers and their dad when I was in Scotland back in April. So Danny was in touch. There's an Alexander, and he's from the T-Box Chatter podcast up in Canada. He's had some health issues. So, Alexander, hope you're well, mate. Andy Brown and his wife, they bought us some beers. Thank you.
Nice. Thank you, Andy Brown. Oh, Zilikowski brought us some beers. Brian got a shout-out, Brian.
He did. James Blythe, he's a caddy from St. Andrews. If you're ever in St. Andrews, you need a caddy, look out for James Blythe. Steve Tucker, he's actually originally from Canada, but he lives in Colorado. He's a very keen podcast listener. Andrew Smith from Australia, and a lad called Tommy Boy. He's a local caddy.
Tommy Boy.
Remember we talked about the cheating caddy? Sorry, the cheating pro.
Mm-hmm.
He actually asked if they were from Apple Valley, because he caddied for a pro with exactly the same story.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Wow. And I says, well, no. I guess there's more than one cheating caddy. I believe the update in that story is that the pro and his wife are still together.
Really?
There was a death in the family, and he was a shoulder to cry on.
Oh, jeez. So worked your way back in.
Worked his way back
in. That's hilarious. So, oh, we got to shout out Dave Thompson as well. He bought us some beers, and he did a little voice for us for Big Game Golf.
He did indeed. So,
love you, Dave.
That's it. Episode number 122. Big Tony's got one last thing.
I want to shout out, because I looked up my player's name, which I was blanking on the moment. Rob Kestenbaum, it was great working for you, and you were an impressive putter.
Big Tony, everyone can see you. The London Bridge Pub in Monterey every Tuesday night.
Tuesdays at 8. Trivia.
Trade them and grade them. Thank you very much. You'll be back again, because you came up with a great episode potential subject.
Mm-hmm.
VIP loops.
Good to have you back, Tony. I'm glad you're here.
Zabo, as always, anytime. Many thanks.
Thank you.
We will be back in 2 weeks' time. If you are new to the podcast, make sure to go back, listen to previous episodes. So thank you very much for listening. Until the next time, please get out there, enjoy your golf, but don't get angry because
you're not that good.